The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer here on TKR. And wherever you're catching the broadcast, I'm really delighted to have you on board because I think this is an important edition of the show. There are a lot of things that I don't think you are being really allowed to know. So it's up to people like me who are paying close attention and can't look away to update you on things you need to know. Last week, we kind of laid out methodically and to the best of our ability what's happening in the Middle East in clear and concise terms. But I really want to talk about today what's happening right here. And I'm absolutely appalled by it, and all Americans should be. And let me preface that by telling you that it really, as I was trying to decide on topics for this week's program, it really hit home for me last night. I'm recording this on Monday morning for this week's broadcast. I watched the very end of a really awful matchup last night, the Chargers and the Bears on Sunday Night Football on NBC. And I just happened to tune in right at the end of the game. And it goes quickly, of course, to the local news, which just to give you a little background, and I'm sure most of you realize this, weekend local news is quite a phenomenon. I have a little bit of experience in Memphis many years ago of getting to do a couple of sports segments on local weekend news on late on a Sunday night. It is a basic packaged production where talent comes in, and I don't want to disparage any young aspiring broadcasters. I think that's a great job to have when you're in that particular field, but you don't exactly have people that let's just say have lots of background experiences. A lot of young people right out of college. It's some journeyman people sometime that have the broadcast bug and continue to do it. It's a whole different atmosphere because I used to go in and do a weekly segment as a guest. And I think at this time, Tony still does that on Channel 6 here in Birmingham. And that's a different deal. The weekday production of news is a big, big moneymaker for local stations. So the weekend crew is more just kind of a placeholder waiting to get to Monday. So if you ever have something that you want to get on the news, if you promote it and call the attention of local stations to it on the weekend, they're starving for things. But the problem that I had last night and what really prompted me to have to tell you about these things that have really been kind of bothering me all week about this Israeli Middle East situation are a couple of events that I witnessed over the weekend. And last night, when the game was over, I knew a cold front was coming through. I kind of wanted to get a feel for this week in terms of what we could expect. Got a lot going on, and just said, well, I'll leave it on and watch the weather, which is something I don't usually do when the weather is pretty much the same every day this time of year. But again, aware that Saturday, for instance, in Lawrence, Kansas, when the Kansas Jayhawks upset the Oklahoma Sooners, the temperature was 37 degrees and it was raining. And that, you know, is a good ways away. But you knew it was coming, and I just wanted to know when, and I got the forecast. If you're in the Birmingham area, get out the coats, because the highs are only going to be in the 50s for a couple of days. Starting tomorrow, it's going to be windy and blustery, and it's going to feel a lot colder than that. And in the morning, some areas are even going to get some freezes. But that's certainly a sidebar. That's something you need to know, but that wasn't the intent of the broadcast. What I wanted to talk about was about the third item of the newscast last night. A young anchor man, and what these people do is they read from a teleprompter prepared by someone else. So they basically are not news people at that stage. They are just news readers being fed the information by a producer or staffer or writer that has prepared the content for that cast. Anyway, he pivots from a local story to, and now a update on what's happening in the Middle East with the Israeli war, which I think is an interesting way to frame it. But that's understandable because Israel, of course, is the focus of what's going on there. But he reads from the teleprompter the following, and I'm paraphrasing here. The conflict is deepening as Israel has sent significant forces into Gaza to try to avenge the killing of 1,400 Israelis on October 7th by Hamas invaders. He says, our reports are that so far in Gaza, 8,000 Palestinians have been killed in the early days of the operation. Well, you know where that 8,000 number came from? It came from the Ministry of Health in Gaza. The Ministry of Health is the agency that Hamas, a recognized worldwide, and this is not just in America, it's throughout Europe, it's in every civilized corner of the world, Hamas, who is in control of the Gaza area and all the Palestinian citizens, the Ministry of Health is a very clever creation. It has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with Palestinian welfare. The Ministry of Health is a propaganda agency that sends out all of the Hamas garbage to be consumed by the rest of the world. And this is a typical example. On local news, they're reading matter-of-factly that in the first 4 or 5 days of the Israeli incursion, and there's been bombing now for several weeks, targeting Hamas strongholds and actual individuals, that 8,000 Palestinians have perished in about three weeks since the Israelis' operations began. This is a number they totally pulled out of the sky. You can almost guarantee you that it's at least 10 times inflated. That's how they do things. We had another example of this when the first days of Israeli retaliation to the horrific, and I talked about it last week, and it was difficult to even fathom, the horrific slaughter of 1,400 Israelis. And these were not soldiers. These were families and children and old people and young girls raped and murdered. It's the most atrocious, just blasphemy, abomination in probably the history of the modern world, what happened on October 7th. And the retaliation of the Israelis began with some shelling of Hamas positions. And of course, the report came out and was completely gobbled up right away by all the news media around the country that a missile of Israeli origin targeting the hospital in Gaza had destroyed the hospital and killed 500 people in one strike. And the outrage was ratcheted up so much because the perception of the world accepting from the Ministry of Health, again, which is not anything close to that description, it's a propaganda agency who uses social media and sends press releases all over the world to basically propagandize anything that's happening there. And that's the Hamas vehicle for information. And anyone who takes anything that comes from there at face value is an absolute moron. It would have been like you being Reliant back in the day when on newsstands at every store, the National Enquirer was there. And you'll remember some of the outrageous headlines. If you ever read that paper back in the day, it was just a bunch of sensationalized nonsense. Well, the Ministry of Health, run by Hamas in Palestine, is the modern day National Enquirer. It's just a device to get out outrageous anti-Israel information and really inflame the pockets of the Arabic Islamic world of the atrocities perpetrated by Israel. Now, again, remember, this is a country that had just slaughtered 1,400 people in their homes in the suburbs and walking the streets and at a music festival. They were a unit of trained killers that basically descended upon unsuspecting people. And again, this was not a military operation. This was absolute genocide and an outrage, one of the worst things we've seen in our lifetimes. And all of this information that's being generated to derive sympathy for the poor Palestinians, which are not in control here. Hamas has taken control of that area, first winning a couple of seats in an election, and then deciding in 2007, we're just going to seize control of this whole area. And the Palestinian people are not totally innocent either. If you talk to somebody on the street there, they have been conditioned and raised and indoctrinated to hate Israel and support what Hamas's primary mission, stated mission, it's not being concealed. Their primary objective is to destroy Israel and kill all the Jews possible. And a lot of the Palestinian citizenry has bought into this. Now, at the same time, Hamas operates the Gaza area with an iron fist. The Palestinian people and their welfare is not a big concern. In fact, they put people at risk all the time by hiding Hamas military stashes and operation centers within schools and neighborhoods and hospitals. So basically, they're using their own people as human shields. And as soon as some atrocity takes place, like the October 7th operation, they immediately, through the Ministry of Health, start appealing to the rest of the world that these evil Israelis are slaughtering their citizens, and the outrage, and everybody in the world needs to step up and support the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are not at the helm here. Hamas, as we told you last week, is a direct ISIS-related organization funded completely and really controlled from a command standpoint by the Iranians. Iran is the evil regime, the number one sponsor of terrorism on this earth, and Hamas is their agency in Gaza because their stated goal as well is the obliteration and complete removal of Israel in the Middle East. That's Iran's platform. Hamas has adopted that platform as being an agent for the Iranians. So that's the source of the problem. That's who's financing the whole deal. Now, here's another thing that you should know. By the intelligence operations accounts, they now believe that 239 hostages are being held by the Palestinians in their vast network of underground tunnels that they've been building for 30 or 40 years so they could perform these cowardly deeds and then basically hide underground to escape the repercussions. Well, the Israeli invasion is all about rooting that system out and hopefully somehow being able to liberate all these hostages. And it's not just Israelis. There are reportedly some 40 countries represented amongst the large group of 239 hostages that are being held, including women and children. It's absolutely shameful. And the reason for taking the hostages was for some insurance policy, basically, of once again, thinking the Israelis would be limited in their response, worried about the welfare of the hostages. But here's the real secret of why the hostages were taken, because the Hamas organization is trying to bargain with the Israelis to exchange some of the most hardened prisoners that are now incarcerated in Israel that have been caught. And why that these terrorists, killers, maniacs have not been executed instead of just being imprisoned is beyond me. But here's the bottom line. If these people are allowed to be swapped, and that's a new popular trend in the Middle East, take hostages and work out deals to swap for hardened people that they want back, people that are just blatantly, the most emphatic and fanatical agents possible, and the most vile killers and operatives that they have, they want to get a lot of those people out in exchange for the hostages. And Israel is under a lot of pressure, Benjamin Netanyahu, under a lot of pressure to trade these people for some of the hostages or all of the hostages. But the way those deals work, they will probably demand $2,500 for 239, because that's just the way they roll. Netanyahu needs to resort to the tactics that they have, this methodical invasion, and look to destroy Hamas, who cannot live in an area just miles from the Israeli border, because their stated goal, again, is to eradicate the state of Israel and to kill everybody that is of the Jewish persuasion. That has been an uncomfortable situation now since the late 1980s. There have been many, many operations into Israel, suicide bombings, different things that they've had to endure with the Hamas incursions. And now, after this absolutely unthinkable horror of October 7th, the Israelis have said enough is enough. We have to take steps to get rid of this, and releasing 2,000 of the worst of the worst that they do have jailed would be a catastrophic mistake. And I think Netanyahu's well aware of that. That's the hostage tactic, is the whole hope of being able to barter and get some of their worst offenders back, which would really strengthen the movement of the Hamas terrorist network. So I won't get into all the multifaceted players that are lining up, like Hezbollah, another Iranian-funded organization that's much stronger and has a lot more resources than Hamas in the Gaza area. But Hezbollah is causing enough distraction with their missile attacks on another part of Israel to keep the Israelis distracted enough and keep them from full-scale operations and trying to eradicate Hamas. And make no mistake, that's what needs to happen. So the irony of the situation is our feeble president, who projects, the last thing he projects is strength and cognizance and confidence. They fly him immediately to Israel the Wednesday after the atrocities, and he stands for all the pressers and mumbles a few words and professes America's faith for Israel, although the Obama administration, where he emanates from and continues to pull the strings behind the scenes of this puppet president, the Obama doctrine is completely different. The relations with Israel under Obama and Joe Biden, very, very chilly, because they are operating on a different agenda, where the Americans have, since World War II, been an ardent supporter of Israel, the state of Israel, and its right for existence. Their agenda is different, and it emanates from the hard to kind of understand bond that the Obama administration fostered immediately with Iran and the continuing efforts to normalize relations, and as they call it, a realignment of allegiances with different players in the Middle East. And I don't want to get into all of the philosophical reasons, because it would take three or four of need-to-know programming time allotments. But basically, the warped belief of the Obama people and people of this persuasion is that the Iranians that we need to normalize relations, and the reason is because they are uncomfortable and have always even apologized for the concept of America being a superpower, of America choosing their sides and their allies to keep peace and stability in the world. They believe that America should step back from that role, should just be a good global citizen and support all people around the world and get away from this world's policeman, which has been done by necessity, not by imperialistic desires. America has taken the role of the moral compass of this world, and these people are very distressed that that's the case, and wants this globalist kumbaya world where America readily shares its resources, and really the price of that is forfeiting the freedoms that all of us have come to expect and greatly appreciate and enjoy. It's to fundamentally transform this entire country. So the first thing the Obamas did when they came in was to lift so many of the restrictions on Iran that had been imposed in previous administrations, including the Clinton administration, a Democrat situation from, of course, years before, and really allow Iran to do business, which allowing them to be freed up of a lot of the sanctions that had been imposed allowed them to gather more and more billions of dollars to fund all of these terrorist operations all over the world. So in essence, when Joe Biden stands there and says, we are a great supporter of Israel, we will stand with Israel, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, because his administration, led by a gentleman named Malley, who is the chief negotiator with factions all around the world and working in conjunction with Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, who's also political charged in terms of this ridiculous globalist policy that these nutcases pursue, again, diminishing the strength of America and making us just a solid global citizen. They have crafted a ridiculously comprehensive effort to try and appease the Iranians by unfreezing a lot of their assets. You knew about the hostage deal recently, where we swapped five Iranian prisoners here in America for five innocent Americans who were just visiting family that were arrested as spies. Oh, and by the way, we got five for five, but we tossed in $6 billion in assets as well. So we're funding both sides, or supporting both sides in this conflict, because don't be fooled, folks. Hamas is the enemy because they're right there, but they are totally an agent of the Iranian government and they are pulling the strings. So we are actually playing both sides of the fence, and it really makes no sense whatsoever. In the meantime, Biden pledged that the humanitarian efforts in Gaza had to be front and center, that ordinary citizens, if there's any such thing, need to be protected. So he pledged $100 million of your tax dollars to the humanitarian effort in the Gaza area. And that's a beautiful gesture on Joe's part. But once again, he is funding both sides, or supporting both sides of the conflict, because if you put $100 million into the Gaza area, supposedly for humanitarian purposes, where does that check go? Do we write it to a street vendor? Do we pick out somebody at random that lives in squalor in Palestine, in the Palestinian state? because Hamas does not commit any resources to help their own citizens. They are laser focused on one goal, and that's to destroy Israel. And their people, again, are assets that they use to shield their activities and discourage anybody from making inroads in terms of destroying the infrastructure of Hamas. So that $100 million check will immediately be controlled by Hamas. And do you think they're going to use that for humanitarian aid? Yeah, that's a laugh. It will go right into the kitty for getting more weapons and attaining more assets to achieve their number one agenda. And these are things that you're not told. What we see is like Saturday afternoon in Berkeley, California, which this will be a shock. 12 students disrupted the USC California football game by planting themselves solidly at midfield and refusing to get up, protesting for the Palestinian people and the carnage that the Israelis are currently putting on those innocent Palestinians who deserve to have a life free of this kind of abuse. It has come down, folks, to a simple equation for all of these wackadoodles that have been brainwashed into believing that Israel, sponsored by their country, evil America, are prosecuting some terrorism war against Hamas and the Palestinians when they are rightfully trying to preserve the existential threat of Israel being completely decimated and destroyed by this Iranian faction that is causing all of this discord and problem. 1,400 Israelis slaughtered is just an abomination that cannot stand. Put yourself in the shoes of the Israelis whose relatives and fellow citizens were just shamelessly murdered, their little girls raped, their elderly people beheaded and burned. It's just beyond comprehension that people in our country, including Congress representatives and all of these Ivy League and elite college students, are taking the side of the evil Hamas, which is the worst example of terrorism that we've seen in many years, with the whole premise being that the Israelis are the oppressors and the poor Palestinian people and Hamas are the victims. It's absolutely warped. The Israelis are not attacking the Gaza Palestinians and taking hostages and killing babies and children and raping little girls. That is not the case. And you hear the justification from Tlaib, the representative who is anti-Semitic to the core, saying that, you know, the response is not appropriate for the Israelis to attack Gaza and take revenge. When is enough killing enough? A war crime to answer another war crime is not acceptable. Well, that's easy for her to say. Her countrymen and her children were not murdered in this operation. And this has gone on for decades. And the Israelis have finally drawn the line in the sand and said, that's enough. We are taking these guys out and we're going to destroy this right now. It's the appropriate response. It's the only sensible response. And all of this clamor, the UN will do it today, call for a ceasefire so negotiations can take place. You don't have a ceasefire if somebody's come in and wiped out your whole family. You react and you get retribution and you punish the people to the utmost degree that has caused this kind of destruction and shameless, absolutely senseless slaughter of regular people who had total innocence in the fact that they were not combatants. They were just conducting their daily lives. Imagine being at a music festival and attacked by a bunch of killers who just indiscriminately just start wiping people out for nothing more than their faith and who they are and what country they live in. It's absolutely unconscionable that we have so many pockets of people in this country supporting that particular movement. But make no mistake, a lot of the provocation for this and the brainwashing of our citizens comes from the fact that all of these enlightened people that want America just to be a globalist partner and not a strong, self-sustaining superpower do not like Israel, do not like the hard line they've taken against all of their oppressors. The Jewish people, of all people in history, are the most victimized ever. And now they've turned the tables to make them the oppressors. This is the people that were killed by the millions in the Holocaust and World War II. Going all the way back to ancient Egypt, the folks of the Jewish faith were enslaved until the Bible will tell you that Moses led them out of bondage. This is the group of people that have been preyed upon and completely victimized by so many different societies. And now, because it's politically expedient to not support a very hard, tough regime that has to be that way for their survival, now they have cast the Israelis and the Jews as the oppressors and the poor Palestinian people, which is Hamas run, as the victims. And that's the warped view of the world. Israel was going through a big period of strife with a lot of dissension, like in this country, with a lot of the progressives trying to take control of the government. The last elections, the Israeli people overwhelmingly put Benjamin Netanyahu and his group back in, which are far-right, conservative, traditional strength, security through strength people. And the academics and the leftist politicians in this country and the people pulling the strings for this globalist kumbaya society didn't like it. And that is why you're seeing all of this support for Hamas and the killers that make up that organization, funded by Iran, once again, a country that the Obama and now the Biden administration continues to try and support in every way with all kinds of agreements and treaties and release of funds. It is just a terrible, terrible situation that's happening. And everybody needs to be aware of it and needs to know. So when you hear something thrown out as news, you really need to question where the source is. And if they quote the Ministry of Health in the Palestinian state, you can laugh out loud and throw that right in the garbage, because that's what it is. It's garbage. It's propaganda. It's not true. It is crafted to get your sympathy and to try and make the hotspots in the world of Islamic feeling just completely ratcheted up to the highest level. That's what you needed to know. I hope we can talk about something more pleasant on next week's program, but there are things that are not being explained, and that is the root of most of what you're seeing going on. I'm Kip Kiefer. Don't miss Kip and Tony on Kiefer and Curry tomorrow. We'll be recording a new episode. It's going to have a local Birmingham flavor for those of you who are in Alabama. I've got a great subject that I want to tell you all about. It's something I'm excited about, and I'm really proud of the city for stepping forward and making it happen. So we'll have that for you. And don't forget, Saturday morning, 10:30, ABC 3340 in Birmingham and throughout many parts of Alabama. It is the Kiefer and Curry starting lineup, as we will preview everything coming up on the football weekend. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you again next week and give you everything you need to know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.